for your faithfulness today. Your mercies are new every morning, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. I ask, Lord, in your name that you'd show yourself faithful to those that just are really struggling with that thought. You are a faithful God. And Lord, I ask as we open the Word this morning that your Holy Spirit would come and just illumine us this morning. I pray that you'd come and speak to us through the Word today. As you've spoken to us through worship, speak to us through your Word. And I pray, God, that the Word would wash. I pray that the Word would sanctify. I pray that the Word would enlighten. I pray that the Word would rejoice the heart, restore the souls of our people here this morning and those online. I ask, God, that you'd be glorified. Visit us in your Word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What controls you? What has been controlling you? What are the circumstances of this life? What are the things of your past? What are the things that you're worried about in the future that just continue to control you, that continue to wrap just the noose around the neck and take you to places you don't want to go? What controls you? Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, has a very great word. It's a word in the midst of to a church that is struggling, to a church that things are hard and difficult. Matter of fact, in the verses prior to chapter 5, he says that we don't lose heart. Our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And then he says this, the affliction that you're going through, the affliction that that's taking place in your life, he says, listen, that's momentary and it's light. Yeah, it's affliction, but it's momentary and light. He's talking to a church that struggles in this life. He's talking to people that are going through trials, that are going through hardship. And when he goes through chapter 5, he comes down to verse 14 and he says this, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Apostle Paul says, listen, the thing that controls us, the thing that controls me, the thing that just captivates me, that thing that compels me, the thing that I'm constrained to, the thing that I'm occupied with, even though I'm pressed on every side, the thing that's going to control me is the love of Christ. Nothing else will control me. Nothing else will take me to places of sin, places of darkness, places of worry and anxiety, places of guilt and shame. The love of Christ controls me. It is an awesome thought and an awesome statement, because I know we walk through life and you've walked through this week having other stuff controlling your emotions. Is that right? What's controlled you this week? What are the things that have taken place in your life that, again, that just has brought your mind and your heart and your emotion and your spirit and your soul to just sometimes depths of despair? And it may just be a moment. It may just be 15 minutes. It may be just an hour. I don't know. What controls you? What constrains you? What are the things that... in life that you respond to that you realize that I'm letting that control me? And Apostle Paul's saying, listen, and I'm going to tell you the word simply means what has you in its grip and what are you living for? And so he says again in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. The love of Jesus, that's what motivates us, that's what moves us through, that's what we're running after, that's what we're allowing to take hold of our lives on a moment-to-moment basis. The love of Christ controls us. And my first thought is when I think about what controls me, I want to say the love of Christ controls us, not our life experiences. You have life experiences that are both positive and negative. And there are many of you here today, and there are many of you watching online, and there are many of you listening to this message today that have things, the things of your past are still rocking your world in a negative way. And that's not the intent of the Scripture. That's not the intent of the Spirit of God. That's not the intent of our great God. That you're no longer defined by the experiences, or you're no longer controlled by the experiences of your life. You're controlled by the love of Christ if you're in Jesus. And so what is this love? Well, God himself is love. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who doesn't know, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, so when you look at this context and this passage, I'm saying, not only does the love of Christ control me, but God himself controls me. Don't you want to be able to say that? Don't you want to be able to say that nothing else in this life controls me? Not what people say, not what's been done to me. What controls me is the love of Jesus. And since that controls me, that's how I respond. That's how I respond in the present, and that's how I respond in the future. God is love. And Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" Some of you need to hear that word today. I have loved you. I have always loved you. I have always been for you. I've always been with you. Even in the darkest of times, I have loved you, and I've called you to this loving kindness. I've called you to this love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." He says, listen, all the things that are going on in our lives, all the things that are taking place, I don't want to be controlled by those things. I want to be controlled by the love of God. Now, what does that look like? Keep your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have this love chapter, okay? The love chapter. And Paul says it this way. He says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but don't have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and know all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, and I don't have love, it profits me nothing. I'm just a noisy gong." And I can say all the right things and say all the right doctrine and say all the right things that we believe. And if I don't have love, all they hear is just a gong. A gong. Which means nothing. We, church, are to be controlled by the love of God. We're not to be controlled by gifts. We're not to be controlled by these other things. We could have all these other things, and what will happen? If we don't have love, profits you nothing. We are controlled by the love of Christ, by the love of Jesus, is what he says. And then he says, okay, and this is what this looks like. Love is patient, right? It's kind. It's not jealous. It does not brag. It's not arrogant. It's never rude. It doesn't seek its own. Listen, it's not provoked. Can you believe that? When I'm controlled by love, you cannot provoke me. You can't provoke me. If I'm walking in love towards you, if I'm walking in love toward my enemy, if I'm walking in love toward my country, if I'm walking in love toward our church, it cannot provoke you. Let me ask you a question. What's provoked you this week? What's provoked you? What's controlled you this week? What's controlled your emotions? Has it been the love of Christ or all the negative stuff going on? Or all the other stuff that we're seeing? Let me tell you, he says this, and it's really important that he says this. When you get this, you can go to the next few verses of Scripture and say, if any man's in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things are gone. Old things are gone. New things have come and are continuing to come. Why? Because the love of Christ controls me. And then he says he's given us a ministry. And it's a ministry of reconciliation. A ministry of reconciliation. Every last one of us in this place has been given a word and a ministry of reconciliation. Matter of fact, he says you are ambassadors for Christ. You represent him. He's talking about purpose in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about the greatest purpose of all, and that is to reflect Christ, to represent Christ, to lead people to Christ, to see reconciliation in people's lives, reconciled with God and reconciled with one another. That's who we are. Because the love of Christ controls us. But if something else is controlling you, you can forget about reconciliation. You can forget about representing Christ in a proper way, in a great way. If you've got control by something else, you can forget about all this stuff in an active, participating way in the kingdom of God. What controls you? What controls you? This love that's not provoking? Let me ask you the question. You ask the question yourself. Who and what provoked me this week? Ask that question to your mind. Provoke me to anger. Provoke me to frustration. Provoke me to being annoyed. Provoke me. Let me ask you a question. Were you being controlled by the love of Jesus? Huh? No, I got one guy here. Thank you, brother. No, not being controlled. By the love, I'm being controlled by what's going on, by what's happening in the life. I'm being controlled by the experience of the day, the experience from the world. And the Bible says, listen, we are controlled by the love of Jesus. And this love of Jesus is patient, kind, not jealous, not brag, not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. And it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. What's controlling you today, church? What's controlling you? What's controlling your life? What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your heart? What's controlling you today? Are the experiences of your life controlling you? You know, in Luke chapter 10, you have a great picture of the love of Christ controlling a man. And I want you to go there. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, and you know the context, and you know the history, and you know what's going on, I'm gonna tell you, you understand that this man, this good man, he calls him a good Samaritan, or people call him the good Samaritan, and this is what the context is. In verse 25, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. If you'll do this, you will live." You know, I think we sometimes miss passages like this. If you will do this, you will live. You will live through every circumstance unscathed by the enemy. If you will do this, if you will live loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, if you'll do that, you'll live. Now, I know the context is eternal life, but I'm talking about the context of eternal life right now, right here. You'll live. And some of us aren't living. Because we're being controlled by something else. We're being controlled by something other than the only one that can bring us life. Everything that provoked you this week, the person, the public person, the obscure person in your life, let me ask you a question. Did that bring any life to you? It did not. When what that person said, spoke, did, controlled you to a place that was actually where no love was coming out of your life, the love of Christ, I want to tell you this, you weren't living the life that God has you to live. You weren't. You were missing it. I was missing it. Miss God in the moment. Miss God in the circumstance. Miss God in the hardship. Miss God in the experience. This guy says, he's wishing to justify himself, and so he says to Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor that I'm to love?" And Jesus said to him, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. A Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan was hated by the Jews. A mixed lot in their mind. Mixed race, mixed religion, mixed faith. And they did not like Samaritans. And Samaritans knew it. And I'll say this with all my heart, that you have a wounded race of people called the Samaritans because of how God's people treated them. Matter of fact, some commentators say you had a priest go by, you had a scribe go by, and when he said Samaritan, you know what their thought, they think that their first thoughts were, oh, the Samaritan's just going to go finish us off. Because we hate them, and they hate us. You know, I think about a Samaritan experience of rejection, poverty, social injustice. I think about an experience of the Samaritans separated. Matter of fact, when Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, she would say, hey, I know y'all worship on this mountain, and we worship on this mountain, see? Separated. You don't think there's an experience there that's hard, that's difficult? And I want to tell you this right now. If the love of Christ controls the Samaritan, he's not going to let his experience control him when he comes upon his enemy. He's going to do something other than the whole group would dare even dream. A Samaritan comes by. And the Samaritan has what? The Bible says has compassion on his enemy. And what happens is all of a sudden, I just believe this with all my heart, the love of God is winning. The love of God is moving in. The love of God from compassion, because that's who God is. That's the God of love. First thing God says about himself to Moses, he's a compassionate God. And the compassion of God gets all over this Samaritan with all of his life experiences from these people. And what does he do? He has compassion. He's being controlled by the love of Christ, nothing more. He's on a journey. He comes upon him. He sees him, and he felt compassion. He came to him, bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. He took care of him. And then the Bible says, as he does that, on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, you go, and you go, and you go, and you go, and you go, you go do the same. You let the love of Christ constrain you. You don't let experiences. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about experiences in our lives that brought grief. When we did the Lord's Supper, the experiences that brought sorrow. And we saw, as we always see at the Lord's Supper, is that Jesus carried your sorrow and he carried your grief. You know why he did that? So you would no longer be defined by that and you no longer be controlled by that. And there's a lot of people in this life, and there's some people here, and there's some people online, and there's some people around who will hear this message that for too long you've let stuff control you instead of letting the love of Christ control you. You've let experiences, you've had experiences that were negative, that were hard, that were difficult. Some of them might have been small, some of them might have been huge. But somehow you've let that experience, control you through life in how you see other people, how you see other other folks in authority of your life, how you see people. You define that by that first, maybe that first time that you got wounded, or that first time you felt grief, or that first time you got disappointed. And I named a few things, and I'm going to just quote what I quoted a few weeks ago. This experience, the love of Christ controls us, not our life experiences. But I see 50-year-old people still controlled by the circumstances of their lives. That 40-year-old man who lost his mom at 10 and walks in the fear of losing those he loves. Those at any age who were verbally, physically, sexually abused by their closest to them. A father, a mother, a step-parent, a teacher, an uncle, an aunt, a sibling, a coach, a church leader, or abandoned or left alone. The 35-year-old whose father was absent. The 28-year-old whose parents separated and divorced when he was 10. And it doesn't have to be at 10. Your parents can divorce when you're 50 years old, and it's still going to hurt. It is still going to hurt. It is still going to bring pain. It is still going to bring sorrow. The painful scar of adultery at any age, for anyone close. The awful words spoken to you by a parent, a brother, a sister, a teacher, or anyone else in authority over you. The betrayal of any sort that took place. The gossip or the horrible words of a boss or a coworker or a very close friend. What someone else did or did not do to you or for you. And then the sorrows, griefs, devastations brought on by your own decisions and sins. And there's some of us who are just continually controlled by those past experiences. Let me tell you what I've done in times past, and do even down today. You come in to my study and we talk about the first time. The first time. I learned something from Les years ago about studying something in Scripture. Go to the principle of the first time it's mentioned. It's the principle of first mention in Scripture, and follow it all the way through. Well, this is something different. This is something. Well, then it's not different. It's the same. We go back to the first time. The first time. The very first time you were disappointed. The very first time you were verbally abused. The very first time you felt abandoned. The very first time you felt rejected. The very first time. Because I find that it's the first time that just sometimes sets the pace. If God does not intervene, or you don't intervene, or you don't do the things proper to deal with these things. And what happens is that first thing, it may not be the same thing, but it's got the same nature to it that flows and comes over and over and over and over again into your life. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus carried that first time away. And every other time you'd ever been hurt, every other time you have ever been disappointed, every other time, folks, that you've ever been destroyed by somebody else's words or behavior. And this is what Jesus comes to free us from, so that we're controlled by his love. And the responses we make today are responses of love, not hate. They're hope, not disappointment. They're responses of just this desire that God is great and God is the judge and I'm not the judge. And God is allowing these things to happen in my life for this great purpose of his. And your parents might have divorced, or your parents might have had deficiency in their lives, and they might have mistreated you, and your dad or your mom was never around, and you had poverty growing up, and you didn't have that chance for that education, and you were neglected, or your parents were alcoholics, or the words of others just formed you. And do you? I want to ask you a question. Are you still being controlled by that? Paul says, the love of God controls me, not the hate of somebody else. The love of God, the words of God, the things that God has spoken over my life, that's what controls me. Nothing else in this life controls me but the love of Christ. Every time I respond to my life experiences that are negative and that are hard and difficult in a negative, hard, and difficult manner, I'm headed to somewhere I don't want to be. You're headed to somewhere you don't want to be. And I'm telling you, as your pastor and as your friend, you don't have to be controlled by your past experiences anymore. You can be free from that and be controlled by the love of God. Controlled by this great Spirit of God, this great Spirit, this great thing called the Holy Spirit, this great person called the Holy Spirit. And you know, I think about Paul, and he's saying this, right? I mean, he's speaking this. He's saying, this is what controls me. And I don't know about you, but I just know that Paul, especially after Christ, coming to Christ, has a whole lot of life experiences that would cause a lot of people to be not only disappointed, but to nurture that disappointment to a place of anger, to a place of unforgiveness, to a place of bitterness. But he doesn't. Why? Because the love of Christ controls him. The love of Christ controls. Listen, when the love of Christ controls you, I want to tell you, when you're starting to have the argument in your home and the love of Christ controls you, guess what? You may still disagree, but there won't be. You know what I'm talking about. Because the love of Christ controls you. And you can bank it and you can count on it every single time that you can find victory when I default to this love chapter, to this great commandment, to the love of God, to the love of Jesus. When I always default to that, when I'm always allowing that to control me. You know, Paul's life experiences again could have just destroyed him, and they didn't destroy him. Matter of fact, they made him better. I mean. Notice, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to ask the question, when you think about what he's gone through and then decided in a very, very decisive, spirit-filled, glorious, loving way how he was going to respond, this ought to change your life today to get to this place that I am not going to be controlled by my circumstance. I'm not going to be controlled by my life's experiences. Notice in verse 23 or 22, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Now, that's really important. Really important to understand when we get to another passage of Scripture in just about 3 minutes. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I far more. I more so, and far more labors, and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger and death. Now watch. 5 times I received from the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, my people, I received from the Jews 39 lashes 5 times. I've been beat with the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, 5 times in my life. You want to talk about a life experience that can control you to hell? That can control you to the depths of depression, that can control you to the pit of hell itself, to the pit in this life. 5 times. 5 times. And listen, here's a spirit-led man by the power of God who is speaking the truth and fulfilling his assignments. And what they decide to do is, on 5 different occasions, hand him over to get beaten 39 times. In 1 beating each. 39 times 5. Where's my math guy? How many is that? We don't have a math guy? 195 times. Thank you. 195 times. From his people. The love of Christ controls me. The love of Christ controls me. Not my life experiences. Not the things done to me, not the things spoken to me. And I'm telling you, 39 lashes, 5 times. Five times. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this, church. Some of us get so upset by one idle word toward us. And we want to die. and we get angry and we get bothered and we get unforgiving and we walk in such a way that brings what? It brings death. Have you ever done that before? Everybody say, yeah, we've all done it. We've all done it. We've let the one idle thing spoken over us. And when you got to thinking about it, they didn't even really mean to do that. You just thought it up. You just dreamed it up. They didn't mean ill toward you. They loved you. They care for you. They've done 100 things for you. 100 things. And then one idle word, and you want that experience to control you to anger over the person who's loved you 100 times. And the one idle thing that he or she didn't even mean, the enemy came and gave you a word, and you received that word, and you let it control you. Paul got beaten 5 times, 39 times. Some historians say he was absolutely, totally unrecognizable because he had scars all over him. He just didn't have scars on his back. He had them on his front. He had them on his cheeks. And yet he's going to be controlled by the love of Christ. No, notice the next thing. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. And I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, from robbers, from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger, thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure on me of the concern for all the churches. And apart from such external things, I've got the daily pressure of me of concern for all the people of God. All the people of God. Who's weak without me being weak? Who's led into sin without my intense concern? If I see my people and they're weak, I get weak. And if they're being led into sin, man, I've got this concern all over me. And what I find so interesting about this, if you'll go to Romans chapter 9, and I want you to see how the love of Christ controlled this man. It's powerful. Now, if he's controlled by his experiences, by the words men and women spoke over him, controlled by his beatings, controlled by, through the self, what kind of man is he going to become? Anybody? He's not going to become a friendly man. He's going to become a mean man. He's going to become mean. See, he gets hurt and he gets wounded, and I'm talking emotionally, and what he decides to do is I'm not going to be controlled by that experience. I'm going to be controlled by the love of Christ. Because the minute I nurture that hurt feeling or whatever it is, whether it's a beating with the 39 lashes, which I'm telling you is the ultimate. I mean, they've got this precision thing, you know. They've got experience with this. 40 times you die, 39 you don't. And they know how to beat you to almost death. So, I mean, I'm telling you, this is a horrible, horrible torture. Okay. And what does he define himself by? He doesn't define himself by those, except in a graceful way, in a way that God gives grace. Not in a negative way. Not in a mean-spirited, not in a tit for tat. Not in anger, not in bitterness, not in unforgiveness. I want you to notice what he says. Verse 1. By the way, in chapter 8, I love how y'all just looked up. Everybody's looking down. Everybody looked up. That's great. In chapter 8, he's already said, hey, you got the Holy Spirit of God interceding for you with groanings too deep for words. And therefore, all things that come your way, everything that happens to you, they work out for what? Your good. The good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then he goes into a great, great thought that not only the Spirit is interceding, but Jesus is at the right hand, in the right hand. And then he'll say, and by the way, he says, you know what? I'm convinced that death, life, angels, principalities, things present, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, watch, will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. You hear what he's saying? I'm going to be controlled by Christ, and I'm not going to let anything separate me from the love of Jesus. You want to talk about the value that we have as a church body? If you've joined this church in recent days, you've joined this body of believers to the second value, our second value, which is to love well, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And I want to tell you, we look at these things and we go, well, I didn't bargain for that. I didn't bargain for that. And the minute you say that, or the minute you have the attitude like that, you know what happens to you? You start living for yourself, and you're no longer controlled by the love of Christ. Notice what he says in chapter 9, verse 1. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Watch, that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. And what's interesting, he's not going to say, for all my wounds and all my sorrows. He doesn't say that. For all these things that have happened to me. No, I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, who are the fathers and from whom there is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Do you know what he's just said? I wish I could really be Jesus to him and be separated if that meant them coming. But he adds another one that blows me away. I myself would be accursed for these very people that have done what they've done to me. Why does he do that? Because the love of Jesus controls him. That's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is not bitterness. Love for Jesus is not anger. Love of Jesus is not tit for tat. Love of Jesus is not the fussing and the fighting. The love of Jesus is not condemning somebody. Love of Jesus is not judging somebody. No, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, all these things that have happened to me and all these people, I've got grief and unceasing sorrow in my heart, and I could wish that I was cursed. And what did you get offended at this week? And what did I get offended at this week? And who did I crucify in my mind and in my heart for what they said or what they did? Or that politician up there or that person that doesn't agree with us? What did I do? I wanted to crucify. I wanted to kill. Paul says, I'll go to hell for them. Now let me tell you some good news here. The same seed that's in Paul, the same spirit that was in Paul 2,000 years ago, is the same spirit of God in our lives and our hearts. Amen? Hey, can I have another amen about that? Yeah. Hey, we're related to Paul through Jesus Christ, through the blood that bought, through the blood of Jesus that was accursed, because curse is him who hangs on a tree. Who bore the curse for you in your place to come and to bring into your life, to introduce into your life the seed of God so that that seed grows into maturity and it grows into a full man and a full woman in Christ, so that we, like Paul, could say, we are controlled by the love of Jesus Christ, not by our past experiences and not by our present experiences. We will be controlled by the love of Christ in the name of Jesus. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, and then the new commandment that says, I want you to love one another as I've loved you. That's the new commandment. And this love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was embodied in Christ. And guess what? He's the head of the body. It's supposed to embody you and me. Quit being controlled by your present and your past circumstances. It's not worth it. Matter of fact, it just brings a load of trouble. It brings a load of heartache. It just does. And my prayer for us today is that we will not be controlled by our past and our present experiences. Now, I have two more points, and they're about 45 minutes long each, I think. But I think that's good for right now. Don't you? I want you to go home. And I want you to ask the question, even on the way, is there anything controlling me in my past? What's controlling my emotions today? What's bringing me to bad places, awful places, hard places, right now, right here? And you know what you just need to do? You need to repent. I need to repent. Why in the world would I condemn a brother and sister over an idle word that I don't even know if they meant or not? And even if they did mean it, why in the world would I go? Why would I go to that place of anger? Why would I go to that place? Why would I go to that place of unforgiveness? I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to go back to that place. That place is not a good place to be controlled by this experience, by this word. And so I just have to repent. I've got to turn. God, I've walked this way. I've been letting circumstances and experiences of my life control me all these years. But right now, I say no more. In the name of Jesus, I confess you as Lord of my life and Lord of my experiences. If you're Lord of my experiences, that means that you're taking those experiences to conform me into the image of Jesus, to perform your perfect work in my life. You're taking these trials so that I might be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You're doing this for my good. You've come to glorify me, come to sanctify me. You've come to make me like Jesus. How can I let that emotion control me and look like the enemy instead of looking like Jesus? I've just got to name it. I've just got to name what I've been doing and how I've been responding. And you got to name it, folks. You got to name, this is the thing that's been controlling me, and it's sin. And God, I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm asking you to empower me. Lord, I've listened to things in my life and in my mind that are not true. They're lies of the enemy. They're lies in my soul. They're lies to my mind. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to confess it, make the good confession, and I'm going to repent, turn, and by the power of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to believe. I want to believe that what the enemy means for evil, God makes good. You believe that today? Well, believe it today in your circumstance. Apply it today in your experience. And I promise you, you get controlled by the love of Christ, you're going to wake up and say, man, your spouse will say, man, you are really patient. You are really kind. I can't believe that didn't provoke you. I'm so glad that didn't make you a nervous wreck. Why? Because the love of Christ constrains me. And I no longer live for myself, but I live for the one who died for me and gave his life up for me and lived that life so that I might respond in kind. You know what I mean when I say that? That I might respond like Jesus. That I might respond like Paul. That I might respond like Stephen while they're stoning him to death is forgiving them is forgiving them. Why? Because we've got the seed of Jesus in us. So let's live it this week. I want you to stand with me. I want you to bow with me in prayer. And I'm going to do something that, if you're new to us, I've never done this before, but I'm going to do this right now, okay? I need every eye and every eye closed, okay? I don't need anybody looking around. If this message has resonated with you this morning, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Good. Just all over. Thank you. You can put that down. This second time might be a little hard for you to raise your hand. This message resonates with you in such a way that you need to make a change over how you're interpreting circumstances of the past and experiences today. Will you raise your hand? Good. Yeah, most of you. Okay. Okay. Okay, put your hand down. Okay. Mike, I want to talk to you or somebody about this because I need help. Will you raise your hand? One, two, yeah. Anybody else? Raise it high. Raise it high. I want to see who you are. Okay. Okay. A good 10, 15 of you. Okay, thank you. I want you to do this. If you raised your hand last, I want you to come to me today or see Jeanette. If you're a youth or a worker, go to Chance. If there's somebody on staff that you just really relate to better than me, which is great, it's fine, you go. Maybe Craig, okay? Maybe Scott, right? Maybe Jordan, okay? Am I missing anybody? Or an elder? And that's your invitation today, to set up a time so we can help you walk through this, and then you might not have raised your hand for whatever reason, but you know you should have. You know you should have. I want you to come, talk to me or talk to one of these folks, and let us set up a time with you. So, folks, that you and I can walk together, no longer being controlled by our life experiences, but by our great God and His great love for us. And I pray this, Lord, that this would be our heart, and this would be our direction, and this would be our people, and this would be our church. Controlled by the love of Jesus. In every form, every fashion, every encounter, every single encounter in mind, heart, in presence with other people, Lord, to be controlled by the love of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you this, some of you, on your way home, you might need to do some confessing. And I'm encouraging you to do that. You confess, hey, this is where I've struggled this week. This is where we struggle, and you know it, okay? And I'm going to decide by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit to no longer be controlled by my past experiences. But I'm going to be controlled by the love of Christ. And by the way, I didn't raise my hand, but I'm going to call Pastor Mike, or I'm going to call Jeanette, or I'm going to call one of these folks this week because I need some help. And that's my prayer for us today. Oh God, may we be a people controlled by the love of Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, I've got two more points, right? Okay. So we're going to continue this message next week. Because there's too many of you letting your past sins and failures control you instead of the love of Jesus. And then there's a lot of us in here that we let future things that haven't even happened and may never happen control us. You've been there before? Yeah. I preached something like this about 6 months before Y2K. Do you remember that? Where everybody thought Y2 was going to happen? Let me ask you something. Did Y2K happen? Yeah, it happened. Y2K came. The year 2000 came, but it didn't happen like they said it was going to happen. Amen. And a lot of us worried ourselves sick. I got people who've spent fortunes to be safe. And I'm going to tell you, there's some Y2K events that you think are going to happen in your life that probably will never happen. and you're worrying yourself sick day after day after day after day? Huh? Okay. I'm going to tell you one another thing. In this election cycle, don't tell me this is the most important election in our lifetime. Please don't tell me that, okay? We've been saying that for 25, 30 years. We serve a living God. A living God, all right? Okay. Lord bless us. Lord bless me, keep me, okay? The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you, and the Lord be gracious to you. Do you understand when God's gracious to you, what happens? I mean, the grace of God pours all over you. So the Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord may he make his face shine upon you and give you peace right now, right here, this week, next week, and forever. Amen and amen. All right.